Well, we're in our study, the Gospel according to Luke. So if you have your Bible, that'll work. Or if you have an iPhone or an iPad or a Droid or whatever, that'll work too. Either turn to or type in Luke chapter 6 and verse 37. And we're also, we're wanting to get into the tweeting thing. You know, I don't tweet, but I guess could. Tweet. But I want to start, and I want to start getting you, while their service is even going on, to encourage you to put some stuff up so we can kind of see how it's getting to you, what you're thinking about it, you know. So give us some new thoughts and some ideas. Just have to pay attention. Just pay attention. Don't tweet everything else. Just tweet. Okay. All right, Luke chapter 6. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of us feel like at some point in time in our lives that we were unjustly judged, that somebody took something maybe we said or did incorrectly and it offended them, and so they began to judge us and condemn or talk about us. They began to feel that and began to come at us with a judging and a condemning aspect. Anybody ever experienced that? I mean, okay, that's what I thought. All right, and how did that feel? Did it hurt your feelings? Did it damage the relationship? Did you become like combatant with it? Did you want to retaliate? That's usually what we do, and that's what the world does. Now, let me flip that around just a little bit and ask you this question. How many of us have ever done that to someone? Wait, don't put your hands up. You guys are on it. You're ahead of me here. So, you know, but you did that. You, for some reason, you took offense at what somebody said or maybe what they did. And in your mind, in your way, you had every right to do it, but you judged and you condemned, and you started talking about them, and it just was a bad situation. How many has ever done that? Yeah, that's what I thought. So we're on both sides of it, so we can all stay in here. The rest of you can be dismissed. And so, you know, we're here, and this is what we're talking about today. Well, when you did that, how did that feel? Did you feel good? Yeah, I showed them. We want to project it like that, but we really didn't feel good. Let me ask you this. Did you think it was wrong to do? Did you know it was wrong when you did it? Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is what Jesus is talking about in our lesson today. And we have to remember that he's in the context of loving your enemies. And he's still on point. This is the same thing. He's continuing it on, kind of showing us how all this works out. And so what we're going to be looking at today is how we create enemies. You see, we create enemies by judging and condemning. So let's read our passage and then we'll get into it. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher. But everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. Who's a hypocrite? What does hypocrite mean? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I want to go ahead and read that 37th verse in the King James translation we just read from the New International Version. It says in the King James Version, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned." Have you ever went to somebody that you honestly cared about and you really wanted to adjust them or help them a little bit about their conduct? They were doing something or saying something and you just went and you just were saying, "Listen, you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't say that." And they said to you something like, "Don't judge me. Who do you think you are? Bible says, judge not and you will not be judged." And they quote it to you from the King James Version. I mean, people far from God. I mean, don't judge me. Who you think you are? They're out of context to start with. But, you know, it's interesting to me that I think Luke 6:37 is a much better known verse in the Bible than John 3:16. Now, they may not know it's Luke 6:37, but they can quote it. And the truth of the matter is that you can't go through life hardly a day without judging people. And so Jesus has got us confused here. What are you talking about? Well, you better not go very long without judging people. If you've got children, you better judge them. If you've got children, you better judge them. Because if you don't, they're going to fall in a ditch. And if you have relationships, if your children have relationships, you better judge those relationships and the character of the people with which they're running. Or they'll all fall in the ditch. We have to judge our own personal familiarities and people that we run with. We've got to do that. We've got to judge their character or we're going to fall in a ditch. If you have a business, if you're a manager or anything, you constantly, every day, judge the people that work for you. You have to judge their productivity. You have to judge their attitudes. You have to judge their characters. You can't hardly go without judging. I, as a church leader, our leadership is commanded to judge. I'll read this to you, 1 Corinthians 5:12. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your job to judge those inside the church who are sinning in those ways. See, I have got to not only judge my own life, my own character, but I've got to judge people if I want to help them. And so what's Jesus doing here? What's he after? Says one place, you better judge him. You say another place, don't judge him. So what's he saying to us that we can apply to our lives? Now remember, we're talking about this Sermon on the Plain, and the emphasis that I'm trying to show you is that Jesus wants us to realize the difference between thinking we're saved and playing the hypocrite church game, or knowing that we're a child of God. And so this is what this is all about. This is monumental that we get this. So let's take a peek and see what the Lord has for us. Let's read that verse again, Luke 6:37. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Now leave that up there for me just a second, because I need to show you something. In all this lesson, what I'm going to be talking about is Jesus connecting dots. What I want you to see here is that he's connecting in this particular passage, judge and condemn. Don't judge, and you won't condemn. That's the kind of what the thought is here. So can you take it down? What he's saying is you're judging so you can condemn. You're looking for a way that you can condemn them, is the thought in this passage. So he connects that together, and we're going to look at this word here in just a moment that he uses for judge. It's krino, and we get our word criticized from it, critiques. To become critical. And so what it's talking about is we've become critical, critique. We're critiquing someone, looking for a way to condemn them. So now let's look at the word in itself, krino. And what it means is to pronounce. it means judgment passed. Now what I want you to see as I'm looking at this is you've already made the call. You've already made the decision. You're not looking for something good. You're looking for something bad. You've already judged it. To pronounce judgment. Act the part of judges. Pass judgment on. You've already made your mind up. And I like this part. It's of warriors and combatants. Now you're in combat. You're a combatant. And the person that you're trying to condemn, you're combating here. And let's look at this word condemn while we're looking at this. Katekadzo. And what it means is to give judgment against, to pronounce guilt, to condemn. So what Jesus is saying here is it's when we become offended and then we start looking for things that we can criticize, critique, and condemn someone over. We're looking for something wrong. We're looking for something negative. We're wanting to defend ourselves, make ourselves look good, and make that person look bad. And this is what he's talking about doing. Jesus isn't talking here about the normal judgmental things that we have to do in life to avoid mishaps and avoid bad situations. What he's talking about here is that when we get into this mind state where we get angry with somebody and our minds run off to this judgmental aspect where we want to get even, we want to get back at them, we want to judge them, we want to condemn them, we want to talk about them. And that talking turns to slander and gossip. Now, I know yours did it when you did it. But mine kind of did. I kind of exaggerated it and made it worse. But say you were right on it. You were 100% right. I mean, what you said was exactly the way it played out and rolled out. Hear me. You're still wrong. You are a hypocrite. You're playing the church game. This is not what we do. And when we do it, we've got to repent. And so what Jesus is showing here in this passage, in this situation, is how do we handle this? Because we all raised our hand, or we should have, and we've done it. And we've had it done to us. So how do we handle this stuff going on? And Jesus, you know, here's the truth. And as that prophet Jack Nicklaus said, you can't handle the truth. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. Here's the truth. Is you're not in the kingdom of God. You're lost. There's no difference from you and a sinner, Jesus said. And what we've got to understand is that what he says is what Jesus is after here is how can we make sure that we are in the kingdom of God, we are the children of the Most High, Luke 6:35, and not just playing the church game, Luke 6:32 and 34 that we talked about last time, where there's no difference between us and anyone else. So Jesus is teaching us here how to handle this, how to make certain that we do it right. You know, to say that when Jesus preached a sermon, that it was the difference of somebody going to heaven or hell is kind of an understatement, don't you think? Well, this is a sermon Jesus preached. And it can be the difference in our going to heaven or going to hell, to being a hypocrite or being real. So let's look at this. And the way I'm going to go through this is we're going to go line upon line and precept upon precept. We're going to read the verse and then we'll get in a little bit and then we'll add a little more to it until we get through this passage, okay? So let's read 37 and 38 again. It says here, do not, it's not an option, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Here's the new part. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Hold that up there just a second for me so I can connect some dots. See, what Jesus does here is I want to make sure we get it. See, when we just forgive, that's not enough. Or maybe a better way of saying it is there's more to forgiving than just saying, I forgive you. See, you got to give. It's not just forgiving, it's giving. It's not forgiving, it's giving. Okay, you take it down. Why? What's he saying? Can I just forgive and that be good enough? No. Why? Because you really haven't forgiven until you can give. Remember what he said? He said, do good for those who hate you. We talked about that. You really haven't worked it out. There's really no fruits to what you're saying until you've come to a place where you can give. All of this works out something. It's like judging works out condemning. If we didn't judge, then it wouldn't work out into condemning. It's like if we really forgive, then the way it's going to work out in our lives is that we come to a place where we can give. If we really forgive, we come to a place where we can give. Everything produces something here. It connects the dots together. See, giving to people that you condemn is proof that you've really forgiven. It's proof. And you can't do this unless God's in you. And we talked about this. See, God is love. We talked about that. Agape. And if I'm in God and if God's in me, then I've got this love in me. I have this ability to love people that do me wrong, forgive people and give to people who are condemning me. And this is what he's saying here. You can't do this If you're just a natural person, they don't have the power. The lost people don't have the power to do this or the will to do it. Agape, you will it. I'm going to do it. And God gives you the strength and the power to do it. So let's add another line now onto that, reading those verses again and adding some more to it. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Given, it will be given to you. Here's the new. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your what? Poured into your lap. Now, let me see, what Jesus is doing here is giving us a metaphor that they got, they understood. Today we use a lot of backpacks, you know, a lot of students carry their books and backpacks. Well, in that day they used a lap pack. It was in the front. We've seen women in stores or whatever carrying their children in a lap pack. And what it was is kind of a pouch, like a kangaroo, maybe you could think. You know, they have this pouch out here, and the belt would be tied, and then the slap pack would be out in front of it. It would be a pouch in, on the front. And so as they would go to the market to acquire their groceries and whatever, which was pretty frequently without refrigeration and those kinds of things, they would put whatever they were purchasing, fruit or whatever, into the lap pack. And so as they were going maybe to get grain or flour or something, they want a good measure. And so what they would do is they would press it down, shake it, pack it down, until they had a good measure, until it was full, running over. So this is the metaphor that Jesus wants us to see. It was a lap pack. Now let's read some more, another line, verses 38. Given, it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. Here's the new. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So, if I'm giving forgiveness, I'm giving, I'm working on living like God and being like God, godly, godlike, then this is what I do. It comes back to me. Good stuff, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I get it back just like I gave it. But if I don't, if I give judgmentalism and condemnation and critiquing and criticism, if I give that to people, then that's coming back in my lap. Good measure. Pressed down. More than I can handle. And what's so interesting here is Jesus connects the dots. We never connect dots. You know, the world says it this way. What goes around, the world says it. They just can't fix it. They know that this is the way it happens. You give it, you're going to get it back. But we never really connect these dots. I see so many people go through this, never connecting the dots, never getting it. They never figure out that by their judging and condemning people, it comes back on them. And they live all this stuff with woes dumped into their lap. Woes of sickness. Woes of family problems. Woes dumped into their laps of their children. Woes dumped into their laps of their finances. Occupational woes. And they never connect the dots. They never look back and say, well, I wonder if my doing this and causing this and saying this brought this on me. I'm going to talk about this in just a little bit more later. But have you ever like condemned somebody or talked about somebody for something they were doing and not too long you were doing the same thing that you were condemning them about doing? You found yourself in the same pit? This is what goes around comes around. And Jesus is trying to help us get it. Don't judge. Don't condemn. If you don't want to get them back on you, don't do it. Delbert, are you saying that everybody who is sick or having financial difficulties or going through these tough times in life, that they're judgmental and condemning? No. That's not what I'm saying. But it would sure be a good idea to investigate and see. Don't you think? I always do. When something goes haywire in my life, I look back. Whoa. What am I doing? Have I done something? What have I done to cause this? It's a reciprocity. It's what you sow, you'll get back. We're going to talk about this. You know a tree by its fruit next week. You know, what you plant, you're going to get. And this is what Jesus is trying to tell us here. And you don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to take the Bible's word for it or the Lord's word for it. Just, you're sitting there. Let your mind go. Think of somebody who's judgmental and critical and condemning and talks about people and talks about things. How's that working out for them? You know it's right. And Jesus is trying to tell us, here's how you fix it. Here's how you become a child of the Most High. Have you ever had someone to really blow it with you? I mean, they really got upset with you. And you got upset back, and words were exchanged, and feelings were damaged, and relationships deteriorated. You ever had that to happen? And then they come back to you, and they say, man, I am so sorry. I was wrong. You were right. Will you forgive me? I promise you, I won't do that again. See, how did that make you feel? Didn't that kind of humble you? And then you start saying, wow, I'm going to find me somebody I can forgive. And this is what Jesus is after. This is what he wants us to do. Ask you a question. Is judging and condemning and slandering and gossiping and all this stuff, is this learned behavior or is it genetically inherited? In other words, you know, do we get it in our genes to be judgmental and condemning? Do we get it in our genes or do we learn how to do it? It's learned behavior. We learn. And the people that we learn from are our parents, are our friends, are our relationships, people who have led us and guided us and taught us in life. How we respond and these things are from learned behavior. Many of the things that you are experiencing right now in life, you learned from somebody. And now you're in a ditch. So let's see what Jesus has to say about this. Luke 6:39 through 40. He also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? Same pit, by the way. They'll both fall into the pit. And a student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. That seems disassociated. It seems disjointed. What's he talking about? What's that got to do with judging and condemning? Because it's learned behavior. We have learned this from somebody. We've let the blind lead us. We've let somebody who didn't know how to negotiate the pits in life lead us, and we fell in the same pit. This is what he's talking about here. And judging and condemning and forgiving and giving are learned behaviors. Jesus gives us this humorous hyperbole, an exaggeration. You would never let a blind person lead you. But if you did, say for example, you're blind, you know, and that day there were a lot of pits. Water was an extreme great thing. They didn't have water like we had. They had to work really hard for good water to drink. And so there were a lot of wells dug, and they weren't when they either dried up or there was no water there. They weren't filled back in and properly capped. They just were there, a pit. And you remember Joseph in the pit, you know? So we his brothers threw him in the pit. So this is what he's talking about. So you're blind and you want to navigate the pits. And so you put your hand on the shoulder like a blind person does for their guide to lead them. and you just start letting him lead you, you know, around. And you don't know the person's blind. Well, what's going to happen? You're going in a pit. And you're going in the same pit they went in. Right. And so this is what Jesus is attempting to say here. And this is just this huge, huge thought with this little, tiny, simple, humorous hyperbole. So he connected the dots again. Let's connect the dots. He's connecting this thought of the blind leading the blind with teachers. So for example, children become their parents. Right? They become their parents very frequently. And they both fall into the same pit. They're following the footsteps of their parents. And they fall into alcoholism, addictions, abuse, welfare. Because why? The blind is leading the blind. and they fall into the ditch. Falling into the pit is directly connected with who's guiding us, or who's teaching us, or who's leading us. So, upon whom do you have your hand? Who is leading you? Now, Jesus referenced the Pharisees as blind guides. Matthew chapter 15, he calls them blind guides, which blind teachers. And they were the most judgmental and the most condemning people of all. Religious people usually are. And what they did, they had the Jews following them. And they were condemning Jesus. They were judging Jesus. They were critiquing Jesus and criticizing Jesus. And they went into the same pit. Except this is a pit of hell. And today, 2,000 years later, they're still in torment, eternal torment, in the pit of hell. Because the blind led the blind. It becomes extremely important to understand what Jesus is teaching us here. Judgmentalism, condemning, all of these things are learned behavior that we pick up because somebody who we trusted or who we loved did that way. They weren't forgiving. They weren't giving. They didn't teach us the right way to do it. So from whom we follow, we learn. And from whom we learn, we become. You will judge and condemn or forgive and give exactly the way your mentor does it. So, who's leading you? Now, of course, the spiritual aspect of this is the apex of it. None of us want to go to hell. We want to navigate the pit of hell, for sure. But in life, there are all kinds of pits. There's many other areas in life that we need to negotiate and navigate. For example, where is your marriage going? Where's it going? Well, who are you around? Where is your friend's marriage going? Where'd your parents' marriage go? Do you know anybody who has a marriage like you would like to have? Well, then when you get into a mess and you need to navigate some pits in your marriage, go to them. How do you navigate this pit? Lead me. I'm blind here. How about your education, young people? How far do you want to go in education? Well, who do you know who's not trying to get to education? They're just as blind as you are about it. But who do you know that's already been there, already educated, already gotten that education? Then that's the person you want to let guide you. Now listen, in education, there's more than just intelligence. You do understand that there's more to education than intelligence. I know a lot of intelligent people that aren't educated. Right? They're dumb. So what is this educated person, what's he done with his education? How's his marriage? How's his family? How's his finances? Is he working? Okay? So you want to look at this. How about financial? Where do you want to go with your finances? Who's guiding you with it? Who do you know that's got good financial stability, that's worked through the, navigated the pits and can help you? Then that's who you want to guide you through this stuff. And listen, this is the way it works out in life. Whatever it is, your occupation, then don't follow somebody who's trying to figure it out like you're trying to figure it out. Go ahead and find somebody who's already figured it out. Don't follow the blind person. You're going to hit the ditch. And Jesus says we can navigate all of these things in life if we let the person guide us who knows how to do it, who knows the route. So what's that got to do with judging and condemning? Well, have you ever heard somebody judge somebody's marriage? Oh, man, look at that. That's a mess. They fuss and they fight and, you know, and he's running around her, she's running around him. Man, this is a messed up deal, boy. And it's not very long before your marriage is in that same pit. You've judged it. And what goes around comes around. How about you judge somebody else's children? Somebody else's brats. That's what you call somebody else's kids, right? What happens? I've seen this so many times. In fact, it got humorous. I had some, you know, kids with, you know, ADHD, and they're, you know, they're rambunctious and hyper kids, and people would talk about them, and man, when I have kids, it's not going to be that way. You just come to the place, you just laugh, you just say, yeah, okay. Because I look back at that now, and I'm thinking, what goes around comes around. We never connect the dots, do we? Use the personal illustrations you reminded me of last night. We were discussing this a little bit, and there was a time when I was all over somebody, and I said, they're kids. Don't even live in the city with them. And what goes around comes around. Judge not, that you be not judged. And what we judge on others, Jesus says, it's going to come back. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. More than you can handle. There is so much here. It will happen. Don't judge. Do not do it. Don't do this stuff. You'll fall into a deeper pit. Verse 41. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Now, we've heard this before, so it's not that humorous to us. But can you imagine the people that he was preaching this to, this multitude of people, when he said that? I mean, that had to be an injection of humor. I mean, it's an hyperbole. It's obviously over-exaggerated. But he's injecting here a humorous thought into what he's saying. And it does sound funny, doesn't it? It does sound funny to us. Until we realize that the you is you. He's not talking about somebody else with the plank in their eye looking at mine. He's talking about my plank, and I'm trying to look at them. That's what he says. Let's look at this word plank. Dokus. Greek word plank. Dokus. And what it means is a beam. Like a rafter. It's the major beam in a structure. And so what the obvious thought is here is that how can you judge and condemn what's going on in the lives of others when you can't face up and correct what's going on in your own life? Because when you do, you're a hypocrite. Verse 42. How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck out of your eye when you yourself fail to see the plank, the rafter in your own face, your own eye? You hypocrite. Now, we just want to read right over that. But we all just raised our hands and we've all done this. We're all playing the church game. We all think we got our ticket to heaven. I'm afraid a lot of us are going to wake up smelling flames. You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. We reverse that around. It's always them that's got the plank. I've just got specks, you know. Jesus says, you hypocrite. Hypocrite? Hypocrite? Yeah. If you judge and condemn anyone about anything, even your enemy, you're a hypocrite. Let's look at the word hypocrite. An actor. Stage player. Pretender. You're pretending you're a child of God. You're acting a role. Well, this is what Christians do. No, what sinners, lost people do. It's playing the game. But let's do flip it around for a minute. Doesn't it just irritate you, though, when somebody with an obvious rafter in their face comes and starts pointing out your speck? Doesn't it just get you to no end? It just ticks you off, doesn't it? You're afraid to say anything, aren't you? But doesn't it? You think I'm setting you up for something, right? It is, but it is amazing to me. It really is. It's amazing to me how the very people that do the most judging, the very people that do the most condemning, are the people with the biggest rafters. Are the people that are constantly falling in pits. And hear me, and taking anyone, following them into the pit with them. And you jump in, you see this happening, and you jump in and you say, don't follow him, don't follow her. Don't you judge me, judge not, that you be not judged. Am I right? So you back off, and before they're out of sight, boop, into the pit they go. And they have all this woe dumped in their laps. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Because it's the blind leading the blind. Now, I do want to note something here. Jesus didn't say, do not try to help. People with irritating specks are debilitating planks in their eyes. He didn't say, don't try to help them. What he says is, realize, you got your own stuff going on. You got your own situations that are big in your life. I wish I had some kind of thing to show you, but one time I did this lesson on this particular passage, and I took a big 2x4 and stuck it right here, you know. And I mean, think about that. I mean, how did you even get close enough, you know? And if I were to, I'd kill you swinging. You'd be ducking. And isn't that what we do kind of with people that are judgmental and condemning? We duck. We weave. You're afraid they're going to hit you again. But it is, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing to me that the people that do the most judging, but he didn't say don't try to help them just because they have this debilitating thing stuck in their face and because they've got these specs. What he says is make sure that you realize you shouldn't be judging anybody. Make sure that, see, if only the people that didn't have anything in their eyes, any specs or any problems at all, if only they were the ones that were able to and allowed to help us, then nobody would ever get any help, right? Because we've all got stuff. Verse 37, let's read it one more time as I wind it up. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. What's the conclusion? What's the answer then? Forgive. And you will be forgiven. See, this isn't a suggestion. This is a command by the Lord. Do not judge. Do not condemn. And there are times when you'll blow it and I'll blow it. We'll blow it. What do? We repent. We forgive. And we forgive. And we forgive. And we find a way to give. Let's look at this word, forgive. Apollo means to set free, let go, dismiss. And I like this one, acquit. It's not worth taking to court. Acquit. Let it go. Get over it. That's what the child of God does. And if I'm a child of God, this is what I do. If I don't, I am no different than the lost people. That's what Jesus says. So, how do you do dealing with judging and condemning? How do you do with it? I want you to get this out of this lesson. It's got so much to do with the people you run with the people who have led you and guided you through life, your parenting, all the people that are your friends and your relations or your teachers or your mentors or whomever. You're going to do what they do. And you're going to fall in a ditch, or are you going to navigate them successfully? How do you do with the flaws and the weaknesses and sins in your life? I just got specs, right? Do you have specs, or do you need eye surgery? See, we got to get this. We got to get it. We got to cut off, pluck out. We got to deal with severely these kinds of issues in our lives. We've got to deal with them. Jesus frowns, and it saddens him tremendously when we judge and we condemn. And there's several reasons. One is he knows all this woe and stuff's going to be dumped in our laps, good measure pressed down, shaken together. He knows we've got to fall in and get out and fall in and get out of pits. He knows that the relationships that we have are going to take us continuously through pit after pit and woe after woe. But the main thing that saddens him is that you're just not a child of God. You're not doing what the children of the Most High do. He also smiles when we do it right. He smiles at us because you are a child of God. But he knows that ahead of us is good measure, pressed down, shaken together, good things. He knows that we're going to navigate the pits in life. And that we're going to have somebody following us and we're going to teach others to navigate the pits in life. And he smiles. So what do you do? Does your life make the Lord frown? Or does your life make the Lord smile? Let's pray. Father, help us. Lord, how many times have I blown it? And Father, help us see what we should do and what we must do if we're a child of God. Heads bowed, your eyes closed. Listen, this is going to come again on you. And what I want to tell you to do is, the way you do it is you forgive it, you let it go. The way you handle it. It's the same thing we basically said last time. Find a way to give to somebody who's condemning you. Find a way to do something good. You forgive it, you let it go. It's not that you won't have opportunity to do it again. It's what you're going to make the decision to do when it does happen. It's tough. It's tough. When somebody's judging and condemning you, or when you get an opportunity to judge and condemn others, it's tough. It's tough to do it right. So, just a challenge today is, if you've heard this, how many of us are going to ask the Lord, Lord, help us? And Lord, if I do fall into this mess again, give me the ability, the will to forgive it, to go to the person, say, forgive me. Go to the person and say, I did it wrong. How many of us would say, Lord, help me do that? That's you. Would you slip your hand up right where you're sitting? Good, 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 good. Father, there we are. Here we are. And we need your help. Head still bowed and eyes still closed. One more thing. How many of you aren't where you need to be with the Lord? You know you're not. You talk about people all the time. You're condemning. You're far from God. God's not on a top priority in your list. And you know that you're going to go to hell unless you make some changes. How many are there? And you came here today knowing that, and you needed to get right with the Lord. How many of you know that you need to do something? So the Lord has given you an opportunity right now to kind of take a step in that direction. You know you're not where you need to be with God, and you're saying, Lord, help me. If that's you, would you just right where you are, just me looking, would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me, preacher? Just pray for me. Just pray for me. I see your hand. Any other? See your hand? Any others? See your hand?